the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Dameshek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to episode number 188 of the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available as always on iTunes and at NFL.com/Shek.
S-H-E-K, Shek.
Terrific. Thanks for that. The one-man house band, Dick Banks, I believe, put that together. Or perhaps it was cobbled together from thousands of upon thousands of members of the Shek Republic, rank amateurs, Hank amateurs, and beyond, chanting for their favorite podcast. Either way, welcome to the show. Week two of the NFL season now in the books. Actually, we're coming at you on Monday afternoon. The game, the Monday night game between the Bengals and Steelers, is about to kick off. Hence, we can't really talk about that one. However, we can cover the other 15 games. Let's do it now. I mentioned them a second ago. You know them from NFL Fantasy Live, NFL.com, so on and so forth. Adam Rank, what's the poop, fella?
Hey, boss. Thanks for having me. And Black Tie, hit my new music. We don't have any new music?
No, it's probably the Bears fight song.
That's
They're 2-0 now.
He loves his drop so much, I would have thought he would have gone out and made some sort of like arrangement to have like, I'm going to go get Bear Down, Chicago Bears, I'm going to get the Super Bowls, anything.
What about this? You know, since you decided to embrace the Chicago Bears as your new football team, all right, it's a little forced, but they haven't lost.
It's, you know what?
And you people, do the math, America. You know, I don't know what to say about it.
A couple of guys on Twitter, Jimmer, I know, who's a big fan of the show, he tweeted that to me on a Sunday.
Next up, let's say hello to a man whose team is also undefeated, and it raises an interesting philosophical question, which I will ask him currently. Let's say hello to him all the way from England. It's Handsome Hank. Hello, Handsome, and Mazel Tov to your team at 2-0, the Dolphins.
Thank you, Dave. It's very exciting to be a Dolphins fan at this time.
All right,
here's that English accent that I heard.
Yes, it is.
Yes,
Terrence.
It is. Terrence.
That we have.
And then finally, here in Studio 66, returning for the first time since he became wildly successful and popular in the podcasting world. He started out with his little pal Mark Sessler. What, 6, 8, 10 months ago, we brought him in here from around the league. Now they have their own podcast. It's flourishing, positively flourishing. It's Dan Hanzus. How are we, fella? Your team is 1-1, the New York Jets.
Did you know I made more plays than Tyler Perry?
What was that?
It's Deion Sanders. That's the swag Dan Hanzus walks around now with. He's like Deion now. He just thinks he's the man.
It just, yeah,
he
it
is.
Seems,
what's
well,
he really
seems
like,
a lot
Hanzus?
Of it seems
what,
empty.
What's Prime really like?
I don't think if he looked at me, he would see literally right through me. Like Warren Sapp, when he comes by, he comes rolling into the newsroom. Sometimes I feel like he's actually going to step over me to go sit down to eat his lunch.
We're talking about an NFL quarterback.
Boy, look at Black Tie.
Drops galore.
Boy, he's a
but
fast
just name a player.
It's great to be back, though. Thank you for having me.
Yes, indeed. And Mazel Tov on the success again. Look on iTunes for the Around the League podcast. Rosenthal, Sessler, and our new pal, Chris Wessling, all doing gangbusters work there. All right. Now, you can watch all the games. I hate the shilling at the top of the show. It takes us 10 minutes to get into
let's
actual
just not do it this week.
Football talk. I want to mention it. Black Tie, help me do it, though. Go to NFL.com to get the – tell me all the names. I get confused. I'm sorry. I get confused.
Game Rewind.
Game Rewind has every game,
not
just for 2013, but a lot of great games from the past. You find them, and you get a 10% discount if you use – the promo code DDFP.
And you can watch that Niners Seahawks game without the rain delay. You could just blow right
through
it.
Well, you know what? HD. That's a great place. That would be a great place to start. But that was a lousy game. I want to talk about this Dolphins issue first with Handsome Hank. Oh, and it's going to be addressed on the Shek Report, which you can find at NFL.com. A lot of confusion. It's not the Shame Report anymore. It's now the Shek Report. I got untold number of tweets saying, where's the Shame Report? Was it canceled? No, it just has a new name, but it's the same thing otherwise. Here's the question, though, Handsome. Are the Dolphins too good? What I mean by that is, 2-0 is nice. What if they go 16-0? What if they run the table? Then what about the 72 Dolphins? How do they make sense of that? How can they? Will they be able to pop their champagne? What will Mercury Morris do?
Well, during my one-on-one with Don Shula last week, I was actually able to ask him exactly this question.
Did you?
No. I don't know what they'll do. I think they'll be thrilled for the 2013 Miami Dolphins, and they'll all pop champagne together.
Well, that is not true.
Satisfying answer, first of all.
Mercury and Morris would literally walk into the Atlantic Ocean and just disappear. He'd be so upset. That's all he cares about. That's all he has
left. That's all he's got left, exactly.
He's become that high school guy that just like had that one great thing, and it's all everybody ever remembers from him.
Well, I did tell you, Handsome, and I told the listener as well, that the Dolphins were going to win that game.
You
and they did,
and congratulations for you on predicting it. I did not. I chose the Colts to win that game. That said, I'm going to go and tell you right now, the Atlanta Falcons are coming to Miami this weekend. Definitely going to be a sold-out Sun Life Stadium.
Definitely?
That's not a prediction I'm willing to back up with anything. But I do believe they'll beat the Atlanta Falcons in Miami this weekend.
Boy.
Big loss for the Falcons, by the way. Coy Bierman's out for the year. Already a team with suspect pass rush. Now it's even worse.
Wow, yep. that's my Super Bowl team preseason. And, I'm having a hard time staying with them because they're not rugged. That's the thing. It's hard that I still question until they prove it, of course, that they have the spine to get it done. And I'm questioning that pick. All right, let's bounce around. A lot of big storylines going on. The 49ers. Oh, but real quick on the Dolphins, I just wanted to say, when they wear those whites on the road, they're all whites now. They really do look like an especially fancy version of a stormtrooper, don't they?
They do. You're right.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
It's kind of like a stormtrooper on a cruise ship. If stormtroopers went on cruises.
Should be weird.
It was like small, the ones... casual stormtrooping.
What was the worst sight before we dig into the Seahawks game? What was the worst sight? The KC Chiefs all red get-ups rank?
You know, I got...
people didn't like those. I didn't... They weren't as... If you told me that was going to happen in my mind, I would think they'd be nauseating. But
not good.
When I saw, once I saw them, they looked like the Iowa State Cyclones is exactly what they looked like. That was the unfortunate thing.
I said at first blush that I didn't care for them, and then Warren Sapp immediately told me that I was wrong.
Oh.
And I had to change my mind.
Yeah, better you swallow your words at that point than...
You're absolutely right, Warren.
Mr.
Yes,
Sapp.
I was wrong.
Or was it the Tennessee Titans wearing the powder blue, which I assume they did as a tip of the hat to longtime pro football fans in Houston, Texas, because, of course, the Oilers wore that powder blue to great success.
But not the all-powder blue. If they would have worn silver pants.
That,
remember the very early Oilers, I believe, had silver pants.
They had silver hats, too. Yeah, they used to have silver hats in the AFL days, but then they moved to the white hats and white pants. But then their home uniform they would often wear was they would wear the powder blue pants with the white jersey, white hat, just like their in-state rivals, the Cowboys, would do. The home white. This is an epidemic, too, by the way. That's another. We'll talk about another epidemic that I've foreseen coming for some time now. But, all right, the Seahawks and the 49ers. Handsome Hank, what's your take on this? This is supposed to be a rivalry game, and it's been anything but. The Seahawks have smoked them two
twice
in a row.
Right, yeah.
Speaking of uniforms, maybe it has something to do with. Here's a theory. Let me lay this on you. I haven't fully figured it out yet, but the 49ers look like Superman, right? Even when they lose games, they look formidable. They can handle just about any situation, and more often than not, they are superhuman. Like I say, Superman. Coincidence or not, the one team that has their number that makes them look weak, pathetic, and mortal is the team that has kryptonite green in their uniform. How say you, Handsome Hank?
I'm not sure. I'm not going to...
Is it that or something else that is making the Seahawks dominate?
I'm going to go for something else.
I would actually lean on Rank a little bit. Is there any way to extend the analogy to work Doomsday into this? Is there any tie-in with the Seahawks and Doomsday?
Oh, they're the Legion of Boom. Legion of Doom. Lex Luthor. The whole thing.
Now, man,
it's starting to come together.
Yeah, it really is.
Rank, what do you make of this? You're someone who has said, you've been saying it since December-ish, I guess, after the Seahawks pasted the Niners. This is, I mean, last December, the Niners, it seemed, could do no wrong. They were over the hump. What an ingenious and bold stroke it was of Jim Harbaugh to put Colin Kaepernick in there over the incumbent Alex Smith, and nothing was getting in their way. Then all of a sudden, the Seahawks just shamed them.
Crushed them.
And then now they've just done it again.
Yeah, it's
what's
really
the, what's the math on this?
Well, the thing, if Seattle has Oregon State next week in Corvallis, I would be leaning towards Oregon State because that's Pete Carroll's kind of MO, is that he wins those big games, especially early in the season. And I remember a lot of times when they would play these SEC teams, they would play Auburn. I know they played Arkansas a couple of times. They were on the road at Virginia, and they would have these big games, and they would just come out and just clock teams. And you'd be like, this is such a great team. And then for whatever reason, at some point they would lose their focus, often against Jim Harbaugh's Stanford club or Mike Riley's Oregon State team, and then just kind of stumble along the way. And I don't know if I'm kind of anticipating that from the Seahawks. And at some point at the end of the year, I feel that Jim Harbaugh is going to get his team back ready to go and be the better team.
Well, but not till
December,
but over
the last couple of times, I mean, you have to give Seattle credit. This surprised me. But going into this game, I thought San Francisco would have an answer for them. They clearly did not.
They would do something, especially with the defensive players out for Seattle, no matter. Hanzus, what gives here? Are you concerned about Kaepernick after what we've seen, or is this just, like I say, a Seattle defense that happens to have his and the team's number?
I don't know if it is, you know, a situation where the 49ers can never beat Seattle, but I think my colleague Wes made a good point when he said that maybe Seattle's at the point now where they can't lose at home. They're like that 86 Celtics type of team where if you go and play at Quest Field or CenturyLink, whatever it's called, you're not going to win. So to that point, the Niners better win that division, and they better take care of business in December at home and get the 12 wins to beat 11 or whatever it takes, because I think if the playoffs go through Seattle, I think this is the year that Seattle goes to the Super Bowl because of it.
And quietly, Russell Wilson didn't have much of a game himself, but of course, no matter there.
But the one thing I think, and I mean, while everyone's been playing kiss butt with Colin Kaepernick during this offseason, the one thing I've been saying, and I'll stand by still, is I haven't seen him do anything when things turn bad. I don't know if he's the type of leader that people gravitate towards and are reassured that he's going to turn the game around. And I think Russell Wilson has it. He did, but it was more of an overall effort. There was nothing yesterday in his, and I hate to give any credence to the wacky theories of black tie, that there's nothing in his body language that tells me that people gravitate towards Colin Kaepernick. Yes, he's the best athlete on the team. Yes, he's a playmaker. But I don't know if he's like that quarterback leader.
But turning away from the quarterback with the Niners, one thing to look out for is Frank Gore, their running game. They've built their offense around the running game since Harbaugh's been there. Gore looks very old through 2 weeks, and if he is not going to be the guy this year, and it's very early to say that, but if they don't get a lot of production from the running game, that's going to lead to big trouble for them because Kaepernick can't do everything.
It's very interesting, and it's very early, and it's hard to make some massive judgments on what we've seen in 2 weeks, but you know, the Patriots, yeah, they're 2-0. In fact, let's get to it because I know what the first question is on the blacklist here. Black tie, it's been too long. Get to it. The blacklist.
Wait, before I do all that, because Hank spoke about the body language of Colin Kaepernick, and as you know, as the body language czar, I got to chime in on this.
I didn't know you were elected.
I agree with what Hank is saying here. It's that Colin Kaepernick doesn't exactly scream, follow me. He's not a leader type. What he is, though, is
look
like a guy.
Look at me, he screams a little bit.
Yeah,
but not
I'm cool,
me.
Having fun, just hanging out with the guys, which is not bad, but to Hank's point, when things get rough, you need a leader in a huddle, and Kaepernick hasn't exactly shown that. Russell Wilson, I feel, has shown that. RG3, I feel, has shown that, but not quite yet with Colin Kaepernick. All right, blacklist time.
You sound like the stodgy columnist that says, he's got tattoos, he can't lead people.
Yeah. He should have a fedora on and smoking a cigar.
Get both of those things. ASAMP, black tie. All right, get to it.
The blacklist. Black tie reads current events. The blacklist. Damn it, check and rank if they come in. The blacklist. The
all right, guys, 2 weeks down. As you guys know, this is the most important week of the NFL season. What your record is your record is after two weeks. Teams that are 0-2 haven't made the playoffs since 2008.
I hate to try to one-up you, but may I say my feeling is that your record at week 17 is more important.
Well, that's debatable. But either way, let's start off with the 2-0
debatable.
Teams. The 2-0 teams, and there are four teams who are 2-0 that did not make the playoffs last year. The Chiefs, and the Dolphins in the AFC, the Bears and the Vikings in the NFC.
Of Vikings all the made the playoffs.
Sorry, Bears and the Saints and the in the NFC. So of all the teams who are 2-0, which one is the best 2-0?
All right, Rank, we'll start with you. Best undefeated team 2 weeks into the season here.
Got to be the Bears.
Got to be.
Best now. Hey, you know what? Judging on what we saw last night, Seattle looks like the best team in football. We kind of talked about this at the end of last year and going through the playoffs, where when the playoffs started, the Seahawks were my pick to go all the way. And if they, you know, if they would have hung on against Atlanta, I see no reason to believe why they wouldn't have gone into San Francisco and won and then gone on to win the Super Bowl. So right now, man, that team is good. And Chris Collinsworth raised the point last night that because Russell Wilson makes so little money, because he's making like $600,000, but he makes so little money in terms of NFL value that their team is so deep. And then when like somebody like Robert
Boy,
Turbin,
that's a great point.
And when Robert Turbin's out there running, you're like, gosh, you're like, that guy is a legit, like that guy could probably start for
what
half
about
the team.
Christian Michael, too.
Him, too. You know, the only thing is the receiver. They don't have a superstar receiver.
If Harvin comes back by week 6 or 7, as he has predicted he will, even if he's wrong about that, if he's back by midseason, then, yeah, look out.
That team is that team is looking really good.
Handsome Hank, how say you?
I'm going to say that the Denver Broncos, when they get Von Miller back,
are the better
2-0 team right now. I don't think that it's great that Seattle, and it's always, you know, it's been a problem for them over the years going across the country and winning games. They were able to do that in Carolina, although not that convincingly in week one. I think that the Broncos, obviously their week one victory, we all remember and kind of saw the offensive power they have. I think they're only going to get better when they have Von Miller back again.
Dan Hanzus, how say you?
Yeah, I agree. I think there are two clear juggernauts right now. You have the Seahawks and the Broncos. I think the Seahawks are probably the better team, but the Broncos are maybe more explosive. So I think it's between those two. If I had to choose one, I'll go with the Seahawks, because yesterday was just so impressive on defense.
It's easy to diminish a team like the Saints, who stole one in Tampa. They really should have lost that game. And the dysfunction, I don't know, I tweeted on Sunday, I don't know how a team is even in a ball game in 2013, given the importance of the QB by himself, let alone his relationship with his head coach. These two guys, the coach is publicly shaming the QB, who apparently has an issue with punctuality and so on. I mean, listen, how's this team even in a game with a good team like the Saints? But the large point is, W's are hard to come by. By hook or by crook. Same goes for the Patriots. You know, everybody's denouncing them. I would say, though, that being said, I wanted to get to the Patriots and say, the people who are saying that the Patriots are not an especially good team, you know who those people are? Well, one of them's Dave Dameshek. And I agree, with myself on that. I don't see what's going to have this team suddenly. It's all about playmakers. That's what I really believe. That in 2013, what it's about is you need game breakers. And every team is going to be able to score a certain amount of points more weeks than not. What's going to make the difference are 2 to 4 plays, and they could be made by defensive players as well. Witness what the Bears do. But either way, you need game breaker types. And they just don't have it. They have nothing. It's Tom Brady and period. And in fact, we're going to be talking with Daniel Jeremiah in just a few minutes here. And he said it really is the football equivalent of LeBron on the Cavaliers. There's just nothing on that field with Tom Brady, I feel
right. And everyone who says, well, look at it, in the past, he made these not-so-great receivers great by being Tom Brady. They were veteran receivers. I don't think it's as easy to do that with guys who are not just rookies, but in some cases undrafted rookies. Like, you can't just suddenly, just because they show up on a field and play wide receiver and Tom Brady's the quarterback, they're going to be stars. I think it's tougher than that.
And also, Brady wasn't really a dominant statistical quarterback, or their offense wasn't dominant until that 07 season. Before that, if you look at his numbers, he was always like a 26 touchdown, 13 interception type guy. Are we leaving out Gronk? We're going to assume that when he comes back, he's not going to be the best tight end that's ever played.
I don't think that. I'm not.
He's not the best tight end in the NFL right now, is he?
Oh, please.
I would take Jimmy Graham over him.
I'd take Jimmy Graham over Gronk.
Listen, the guy is a bum back. And what look what he's doing. I mean, he if they're what they're going to do, obviously, on defense is they're not going to let him, they're not going to give him the free release off the line. They're going to bang him coming off the line.
Right.
That's not good. He's coming out of a 3-point stance, constantly making head to head contact. That just sounds bad. I don't know anything about. Obviously, I've not played NFL football, nor am I a doctor, but I get the sense that that's not good for his long-term prospect.
Right. Plus, he's going to be, I mean, unlike Jimmy Graham, where there are other weapons, it's Gronk or nut or bust for Tom
Brady.
You
are the director of programming. Jimmy Graham wasn't even a top 100 player, according to your own list.
Not my list. The D-O-P. NFL players.
I find it offensive. All right, Houston Texans are Dave Damashek's answer, and I told you they're going to the Super Bowl, and so far, two nice early season wins. Yeah, you could shoot holes in them, but the takeaway is, again, 2-0, and two impressive ones that they can build upon. Big comebacks. That gets them in the right frame of mind, you see, as they get into December. Like I keep saying, I think the Texans are informed by the last couple of years, and they understand it's a slow burn. They finally get this as a group. We need to build and build into December and January, not peak in October. Black tie. Next question on the blacklist.
Next question. How about we go the 1-1 teams? Who's the best?
1-1 teams.
Yep.
Of the 1-1 teams, I'll start with you, Handsome Hank. You answer this one.
Thank you very much. I'm going to say that the best 1-1 team in the NFL right now is the San Francisco 49ers. I don't know if you saw, they lost last night.
I did hear
about
that.
The week before, they played very well. I think they lost to the second best team in the NFL, in my estimation, on Sunday night. And I think they could beat a lot of, perhaps all the other 2-0 teams in the NFL right now.
Rank, how say you?
I would agree with that. San Francisco, definitely. They're better. You know, the Packers are also 1-1, but they show that they could beat them. And, yeah, I think it's San Francisco.
I'm taking the Packers over the long haul. I like that defense rounding into shape as the season progresses. And we were reminded, all the talk, Damashek leading the charge. Old school QBs versus new school QBs, which is better, all that. I love talking about that with football guys. But right in the middle there is the correct answer to who's the best. It's Aaron Rodgers, as we saw on Sunday. Hanzoos.
And Aaron Rodgers doesn't get beat 29-3 in Seattle last night. I think the Packers are the best 1-1 team as well.
All right.
But San Francisco beat them.
Yes, that's fair.
So outside of...
That's a pretty good, way to work out which of them is better,
right? It was a very competitive game, and it was in San Francisco, you know.
I don't get that.
So wait, so San Francisco beat Green Bay last year in Lambeau?
They beat them in week one. Yeah, you're right. They did
so,
get in there.
Then they beat them again in week one this year, and then
in the
still
stick.
The Packers
then,
are the best.
And win and, them in
and
the stick
the playoffs.
In the playoffs. Yeah.
So we're talking about Seattle's unquestionably way better than San Francisco because of their last two games.
It's kind of hard to
argue. We're going to throw out the last three games in the last 2 years.
Adam, don't use logic. Don't use logic here.
That's fair. Oh, you know what? Here's another one. Again, the team that we talked about, even though they're my Super Bowl pick, I'm underwhelmed by them. The Atlanta Falcons. There they are at 1-1. They really could have been 0-2 right now because the Rams with a furious comeback. Is
headed
that an issue?
1-2.
Is that a bad deal for them that they can't? Or is this a portent of more bad things to come for them? That they take it to whoever they play early in a game and then it just dissolves because I assume their lack of ability to just, like people say, impose themselves physically on the opposition. Just pound the ball.
Well, they didn't have Steven Jackson to sit there and pound the ball.
Now
they had
old.
To go with Jason Snelling.
Right, but he's not a young man anymore, so he might not be able to do that. You can't count on him being around given his age.
See?
And the physical beating he's taken over the course of his career. The Falcons are also in the mix there.
I think they're in a better spot, though, than people think. For a team that should have the bullseye on their back, being good all these years and getting to the precipice of the Super Bowl, again, they're way under the radar. I could see them just cruising to another 11 or 12.
Well, last year they go 13-3 because there are three bum teams in their division. Now there are two bum teams. The Buccaneers, it would seem, are going to be much worse than we would have expected. And the Panthers, Ron Rivera, he ain't got it. That's all there is to it. Yeah, he's, like I said, Rex Ryan, good thing he lost all that weight because the hot seat needs some some extra room there for Ron Rivera. I don't think he makes it.
I have a feeling that Don's going to be opening another restaurant manager position as well for Mike. I'm not sure that his offensive coordinator career is going too much further than
involved Don Shula is in the day-to-day operations.
Totally. Well, I love the fact that Dave Shula went, literally, there was no midway job between him being head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals and running like a part of the franchise of Shula's steakhouses. There was nothing different. And coincidentally, Don put him in both jobs. Bless you, Don.
No one picked the Chargers as the best 1-1 team. Could very well be 2-0. All right, Black Tie.
All right, guys. Last question on the blacklist. How about we just do 0-2 then? 0-2 teams.
Best or worst? Who's the worst team in the NFL?
No, the best 0-2 teams. So you know what? For a bonus, throw in the worst.
But it's not even fun, really, because I guess the worst team is easily Jacksonville.
That is
and
true.
Washington's looked crummy. Like they've looked really dreadful. Browns, of the 0-2 teams, you know, save possibly the Steelers. Well, whoever loses tonight is the best 0-2 team, probably. Yeah. I don't know. If the Steelers get humiliated, Steelers. Maybe not.
What about the Redskins?
Yeah, the Redskins as the best.
It's the best 0-2 team.
Yeah, I listen, in that division,
historically bad defense so far for the Redskins.
That is bad. Well, the Giants have given up 77 points already.
I told you, I said, just, I think it was the eve of the season. It suddenly hit me like a lightning bolt that was striking MetLife Stadium on Sunday night. Or no, on whatever it's called, Qualcomm. Or what do they call that place again?
Where?
Sea Life?
MetLife Stadium? Oh, no, it's like CenturyLink Field.
CenturyLink, yeah. CenturyLink Field.
Sea Life.
I liked it better. The Q, Quest. Yeah. That was cool. Anyway, point is, I think that the Giants are going to be, they are this year's bum team in the NFC. They're going to be one of the two or three worst teams. Things are falling apart. I think they're bad. But I think that they, and so that's one thing that the Redskins, if I'm correct, have in their favor. And the Eagles have no defense.
No.
Again, if nothing else, the Giants don't have a defense. Maybe they'll be in shootouts and everything. And the Cowboys are likely to be in a bunch of shootouts. They only gave up 17 in Arrowhead, but I think they're a pretty crummy offensive team overall. That division, once again, a mess. It's sort of like what we were talking about last week, Rank. The NFC East is held in high regard, one, because it deserves it from the glorious days. Maybe the greatest division era that I can remember, at least in the last 30 years. The NFC
early
East, 90s. When it was Buddy Ryan versus Jimmy Johnson versus Joe Gibbs versus Bill Parcells. I mean, that's
amazing.
Those games were always fantastic and rugged.
Versus
now it just stinks. Now it's
Joe Bugle.
I was going to say, Joe Bugle's the guy I was trying to think of. Yeah,
Rich Kotite, Ray Hanley.
Now it's a bunch of, no, it really is. I mean, once again, I don't see anything that makes me think any of these teams is going to be better than maybe 10-6.
And then all those teams in the NFC West have all looked pretty good.
Dave, can I throw in one for the potentially the worst 0-2 team? We touched on the Bucks. There was around the league blog we were posting. It should be up very soon. Darrelle Revis reportedly is already unhappy there.
Yes.
He's taken issue with Schiano's stylings in terms of discipline. He misses how Rex ran a team and also that they play a lot of zone coverage, whereas Revis Island is more comfortable with man coverage. So, you know, there's a lot of bad stuff going on over there, and the quarterback situation's a mess. I could see the wheels just falling off outrageously in Tampa. We're talking 3-13, which they have too much talent for that to happen, but there's a lot of bad blood in there right now.
I agree. That was their chance to right the ship yesterday with a win there, and like I say, they should have had it. And the other thing is, you could see, the one thing I did forecast correctly with that is, I knew Doug Martin was going to have a big game. You could see that's their Achilles heel. The Saints look fine, but they're another team that has no defense with Rob Ryan. All right, last thing, fellas, and here's some spoiler alerts before we get DJ on the line. Very quickly, oh, wait a second. Rank doesn't... how did everybody like... Is everybody bothered by Breaking Bad?
Time out.
Don't time out me, Black Tie.
Less than 20 hours since the aired.
No. It's still too early.
It's way too early.
You haven't seen it either, Handsome.
No, last night, I don't know if you heard, there's a new phenomenon in the NFL... Lightning strikes.
Yes, that delayed the game. That was your perfect opportunity to sneak in an hour of Breaking Bad.
I worked a 13-hour shift and then went home and watched Breaking Bad. So
you get points for that.
Kick up on you.
All right, we won't talk about it. We'll kick
Wednesday,
it down the
road. Wednesday would be fine, and I would be out of luck if I hadn't seen it by then. But not today.
May I please raise one point about this? Is everybody on Twitter and everything else saying, like, Breaking Bad, greatest drama ever produced or created, blah, blah, blah. I would like to shake that person in the hand and say, I didn't realize you've seen every single drama ever created, or at least see the big ones. Because the one that always gets me is whenever anybody says The Wire's the best of all time. And it's like, it's better than The Shield? Yes. Like, so you've seen both. No, I've never seen The Shield. I just know The Wire is better. That's the thing that bothers me. If you're somebody who's seen The Sopranos, Breaking Bad, The Wire, The Shield, and I'm sure there's a fifth I'm not even thinking of.
Beretta. Simon and Simon.
If you've seen, yes.
Hill Street Blues.
Heart to Heart.
If you can conceivably say that you've seen most of the big ones and want to make that proclamation.
Manimal,
Street Wolf even.
I would have kept that on the air if I could go back in time.
Oh, Airwolf. Airwolf. Airwolf, yeah, with Jan Michael Vincent.
What was the best Jan Michael Vincent movie ever?
Hooper, period. End of story.
Was it better than Big Wednesday? Because I don't know. It's just a tough call.
I just fell into your trap. I don't know. I've never seen Big Wednesday.
Oh, okay. You got to see it.
What's that, a surfing picture?
Yeah, with Busey and William Catt.
Ooh.
If that doesn't get you off...
That reminds me of another great 60-minute show called Greatest American Hero. Oh, yes. William Catt. How that movie hasn't been made. They remake everything. Why they haven't made that one, I don't know. Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about all of it with our pal. You know him, at Move the Sticks. Are you getting out of here, Hanson?
I've got to get out of here because you've never seen me and Daniel Jeremiah in the same room.
True enough. Scram, then, fair fella. Enough. Scram.
And Greg Rosenthal, my boss, is going to start whipping me if I'm not back at my cubicle pumping
so
away
be
the
it.
Content.
Beat it, the both of yous. Who need you? We got the great... I told you before, I'll say it to you again. He's a future GM in the NFL. Meantime, he's visiting us once again. It's Daniel Jeremiah, Super Scout. What's the poop, fella?
I'm just happy to hear you guys talking about Simon and Simon. Because
thank you.
I mean, that's one of the all-time underrated shows. Plus the theme song, Banana Bow. I mean, it's a big time show, man. Plus, it was in San Diego. They show Old Town in the open. I mean, we grew up in San Diego. It doesn't get any better than Rick and AJ Simon.
Yeah,
very nice.
Well, you're right. When you're right, you're right. And when you do the theme song, that reminds me, Black Tie. We have to do sooner rather than later. We have to figure out the best sports programming theme music. You know, like everybody would say probably Monday Night Football. But for me, just in when you're talking pro football, my favorite music, theme music, is the old NBC Sports of like the late 70s, early 80s. Da, 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 da,
da, da, da, da, da, da, da, da, da,
NBC.
Oh.
That was when they would start the NFL games. That was the way they would do it.
Do you remember the Lakers music? Because you wouldn't know the Lakers music from KCAL.
No, I don't. Now, let's talk to Jeremiah about some pro football stuff. And Jeremiah, or do you want to talk about, first of all, what we saw in College Station on Saturday? What did you make of the two sides? Johnny Manziel, obviously dynamite, over 500 yards of offense. Is it more credit to him, or is that Bama defense in trouble this season?
Well, I think it's more credit to Johnny Manziel, personally, because he's done this twice to them. And we saw last year that defense looked pretty stout when they were up against Notre Dame and a lot of the other teams they played. So, to me, I give more credit to Manziel for what he did than I would be concerned about the Alabama defense. He's a special player. And everybody I talk to, the prevailing wisdom I keep getting from different NFL guys that have watched him, and they go, okay, well, you know, was off the field stuff? Is he a distraction? I get two responses from him, from the same people. Number one, I don't know if I'd want him to be the face of my franchise, but man, I wouldn't want to play against him.
What do you make of his hose, though? It just doesn't seem like it's a next level kind of arm.
I think it's better than people give him credit for. I thought he can. I've seen him put balls in small windows. I've seen him make big time throws. I thought he pushed the ball vertically downfield pretty good in that game. So I think when you see him up close, I think people might be surprised he has maybe a little bit stronger arm than they think. So I mean, that's something you got to wait and see. You know, as he continues to get older and get stronger, I think he'll continue to improve his arm strength. But I think I've seen improvement from his arm strength from this year. Simply from last year to this year.
All right. What about now going to the pros? Sophomore kid, who used to play at Texas A&M, Ryan Tannehill, suddenly looking good, as is his team. If the Dolphins don't make the playoffs, it's because they're deficient where?
I would say offensive line is still my concern. I mean, they've given up some sacks here in the first couple of games. I'm a little bit worried about their tackle situation. But look, the way they're built, I mean, I really like the way they've built the team. And the way the game's played today, if you can throw the football and you can get after the quarterback, I think that's the best way to build a football team. And right now, they're pretty good at both those areas, especially seeing Mike Wallace kind of get loose a little bit in the element he's provided to this offense. I mean, it's a very interesting team. But to answer your question, I'd say offensive line is still maybe a little bit of a concern.
Now, Dave has been talking up the Houston Texans, and I kind of agree with him. And one thing that we continue to mention is that they're building now for the slow burn, playing for the playoffs instead of the early season gratification, which means more Ben Tate in that offense. But when I see those teams, when I see the Texans run, it just to me seems like Ben Tate is the better running back. Am I missing something there?
Well, I think, Rank, what you're talking about is just the eye test. And when you watch those guys, when you watch running backs and you watch one guy carry the ball on one down and the next guy come in the very next down, it's sometimes it's pretty noticeable if one guy's got more juice than the other guy. And right now, I'd say it looks pretty obvious that Ben Tate has more juice than Arian Foster. But what makes Arian Foster so good is not that burst or that explosiveness. What makes him so good is that feel and instincts and vision and balance. And that's something that can be tough to keep going if you haven't been playing every week. So the fact that he missed some time in the preseason and is just kind of working his way back into his groove, I think that's just going to take a minute for him to get back to his old self. But, yeah, when you watch it, Ben Tate has more juice, more burst. But I think that we haven't seen the end of Arian Foster. I still think he's really, really good, and he's just going to get more comfortable as he gets more carries.
All right, well, let's stay with running backs for a second. Now, of course, in 2012, I had a hard time making this argument with a straight face given what Adrian Peterson was doing. But my favorite runner, at least, aesthetically, and this has been true for the last few years, he's an all-timer in that category for what it's worth, Shady McCoy. Let's do a little cold case. That can be a segment within a segment, by the way. We'll do it. Daniel Jeremiah's cold cases. We dig up what your book was on a player way back when. What did you say about Shady McCoy when he was at Pitt?
Well, I didn't have to. This is the easy one for me because I didn't have to evaluate Shady McCoy.
So say you knew he was going to be a big star.
So, I mean, fantastic. The one interesting thing I can tell you, though, is that everybody, I can't remember where I was in that year, but everybody in the scouting community really, really liked him leading up into the combine. And at the combine, of all things, I think he verticaled like 30 inches or, 31 inches, 29 inches. He had a really, really poor vertical jump. And that actually spooked off a lot of people. They thought, well, maybe this guy's not explosive. You know, he can't jump. He can't explode. And if you watch NFL football on Sundays and tell me there's too many people more explosive than that guy, I don't know where they are.
It's that wiggle that he's got. You know, he can juke anybody in a really tight space, too. I put him up there for guys who I've enjoyed watching in my life. My favorite runners are Billy Sims and Sweetness and OJ, who I didn't see live, but, you know, plenty of replays to see that. He's got a style that's just lovely to look at, huh?
No, it's very pretty. The way I equate his style, Dave, when I was growing up, we had kind of a narrow hallway. And we would play football in this narrow hallway. It's hard to make your brother miss when you can reach out and touch the walls on both sides. I bet you Shady McCoy was a phenomenal hallway football player.
You know, I used to beat my sister in knee football. She's a year younger than me, though.
We played knee soccer. We had to just hit the ball with your hands. We really had a lot of time on our hands. Video games weren't quite that good back in our day.
Hey, Simon and Simon only fills 1 hour of the 24-hour thing.
We used to take a pencil and pitch with marbles. And you'd have to try to hit those.
You know what we need to have? Everybody loves that as a joke. Everybody loves to talk about electric football where they buzz on the thing. You know what's a great game, though? Paper football, the triangle football. We need a tourney, a paper football tourney here at the NFL Network. We'll get to that maybe on Thursday Night Football with DJ when EH and Bucky Brooks and the rest of us are sitting out there with the NFL.com show. All right.
We were talking about the best 2-0 team in football. Why don't we ask DJ? Whoa, so who is the best 2-0 team right now?
The best 2-0 team right now, I mean, I think you probably have to say the Denver Broncos, don't you? Just, you know, you knock off the Super Bowl champ. I know Baltimore's got their issues, but that's still a quality win. And you go on the road and beat a team that's won a couple Super Bowls in the last handful of years. I mean, I think that's a pretty good start to the season. And you consider the fact that you can make a case their best two defensive players, for sure their best defensive player, arguably their best two defensive players, haven't even played.
I agree with you, but the problem with them is the Giants stink, and I think Baltimore might be sneaky bad too, at least on offense. Last thing for you, DJ, is we were just talking about Colin Kaepernick, and for whatever reason, the Seahawks seem to have the kryptonite for the 49ers, who are otherwise superhuman. What is it? From a scouting standpoint, when you're talking to these kids, and you've helped us break down Kaepernick and what you saw when he was in school still, but there's something about his style that is unorthodox, not his throwing motion, his head, his frame of mind. You know, he doesn't cut the figure of a field general. Is that an issue going forward in tough spots?
Well, I mean, look, sometimes it's a perfect storm where you have the personnel and you have a style that can give somebody fits, but there's not many people that have the personnel Seattle has or the fit that they have to match up and take away Anquan Boldin the way they did and just kind of be able to get upfield at a huge advantage playing in that crowd noise at home. I thought they got a lot more penetration. To me, I thought that game to me said a little bit more about the other players on that team than it did about Kaepernick. It showed me that they struggled to protect a little bit. They couldn't run the football. Both those things go on the offensive line. And I didn't see too many times where I saw guys running around free and Kaepernick was missing them. They were locked up pretty good on the outside. But that being said, I think a lot of that has to do with the home field advantage and just the ridiculously talented personnel that Seattle has.
All right, we'll let you go. But Frank Gore, is he done or has he still got something left?
You know what? I'm finished trying to tell you when running backs were done because I said like 3 years ago that Ronnie Brown would never get another carry and that he's still struggling along. So we'll have to wait and see on Frank Gore.
All right, DJ. We'll see you on Thursday night for Thursday Night Football. Meantime, make sure you tune in to hear the podcast with Matt Money Smith and Bucky Brooks. It is Draft 365. The great Daniel Jeremiah, a.k.a. at Move the Sticks. Talk to you soon, fella.
Appreciate it, Dave. Don't forget Heart to Heart and Mrs. H. There was nothing wrong with that back then.
I mentioned that one. You go watch yourself some Quincy.
Very nice.
Or all Barnaby right. Jones. We can all play right, this dude. Game we'll all care. Day. All right. Daniel Jeremiah, there he goes. Rank, you're getting out of here. Black Tie, you're about to get out of here, too. I have some shame/check reporting to do. Real quick, don't you want to do a shout-out, Black Tie?
There's no one here to do a shout out for. Same way I wanted to run
Rank
the
and I are nobody.
I wanted to run the 2 minute offense once again, where we recap the games we haven't touched on. A lot of people that did not been, like the music though.
That would have been great if our producer would have showed up on time.
Yeah, I that's guess. True. See,
with that said, I must bid you a fond adieu.
I come through late. I'm like EJ Manuel these days. I just do it late.
I'm being called away to the news desk. So goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye to Rank. Goodbye to Black Tie. Thanks to Jeremiah, Handsome Hank, and Dan Hanzus. Make sure you track all their work at NFL.com and on NFL Network. I'm on Tuesday night again with Jen Brown for the post football life this week. It's on Darrell Revis. I'll be on right after that at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 o'clock West Coast time. Kibitzin with maybe Revis and Revis's mother and so on and so forth. So tune in for that. Check Report is out there in front of Thursday Night Football. I think we're going to have a new episode of The Sports Car for you, too. I jumped in with Jamal Charles, and we had a gay old time together. I think we'll show you that one in front of the great Thursday Night Football game on NFL Network. Of course, Andy Reid going home to Philadelphia to play his old guys. All right. Much football to discuss. We'll continue to do that on our next podcast in a couple of days. Now, in the meantime, though, yes, Black Tie, you wanted to say something? Oh, again, what do you say? It's NFL.com/game rewind. Game Rewind. And then for our international audience, they have
Game Pass.
Game Pass, which allows you to watch the games live. And you can do it. You can watch the replay. And then, of course, there's the radio. You can listen to all the games.
Audio. Audio Pass. Yep.
10% off all the products when you use the hashtag DDFP.
Not a hashtag. Just type in the code DDFP.
Did I say hashtag?
You just said hashtag right now.
I didn't mean to. See, look, you conditioned me to start saying it. All right. Now listen. We'll be back with more Hooey and Applesauce later on. In the meantime, though, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.